Number 12 this morning. And as you're turning over there, the book of Ephesians tells us, chapter 5, I believe it's verse 18, you know, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And one of the things I like about our congregation here is that we have a diversity of music. We don't sing psalms anymore. Unfortunately, of course, I don't know very many independent Baptist churches that do sing psalms, but we do try to focus on hymns and spiritual songs. And so the song the girls sang probably borders somewhere between a hymn and a spiritual song. It focuses on hymn. Now, the Greek word hymn just means a song. That's all it means. But we typically look at a hymn, H-Y-M-N, as a song that focuses on the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, just all of His work, His person, His attributes, every bit of that. Holy, 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 and can it be? All of those songs that focus on the work of Christ, and even so much some of His work for us. The spiritual songs are those that are singing things of praise back to the Lord. And it's interesting, there are some folks who would say that, you know, we want to hear songs from other lands, you know, from Africa, from Ukraine or China or Pakistan, how people put the songs of Zion in their own words and they come out, and we want to hear those. And yet, and I'm going to say this, when Brother Artie sings a song like that, you know, the rank stranger's like, I don't have anything to do with anything at all. And well, got to stop, wait a minute. you got to wait just a minute. And here's why. That particular song doesn't mean much to our generation. But for folks who moved away from the old home place and lost touch before the internet, before email, you know, when you still had to dial the country store and leave a message for them to call you when they came in the next week, talk to me now. Yeah, and then you finally go back and you find out that the old home place has been sold, somebody else is living there. And the only hope that you have of seeing those loved ones that you lost contact with is that hope of heaven. So I just felt the need to say that. Somebody says, well, I don't really care for that rank stranger. It wouldn't bother me if he sang it the next, you know, four Sundays in a row because I like it. Amen. And, you know, if I had my fiddle, it's in the key of D, so, I mean, I can play along with it okay. But we're all wired differently. We're going to talk about that again today. We keep talking about that. We're all wired differently. And now we're not talking about contemporary music. I mean, if it's got the drum beat and hip-hop and, you know, some of y'all may have seen, if you're on Facebook, Brother Stacy Piercy shared a video of some guys up on the stage doing some, like, little cheek dance. And I thought to myself, that's a joke. That's a joke. That is an absolute joke. And someone says, well, preacher, the book of Psalms says over toward the end, you know, praise Him in the dance. Well, that's fine. Do it like David did. Amen. Or do it like Miriam did. She got the timbrels and all the ladies followed her. And they were singing not about how look at me, and they weren't shaking themselves, pointing out their bodies. Yeah. Yeah, they were praising God because He had, you know, the horse and his rider, speaking of Pharaoh and his army, He had thrown into the sea. So I'm not contemporary by any stretch of the imagination. And we'll teach about music maybe one of these days. I am a doctrinal, when it comes to the hymns and some songs, the songs like that, I look at the doctrine when it comes to the spiritual songs. Those are the ones that express the desires, the heart back to the Lord on His work in our lives and our own experience. And so I just thought I'd share that with you this morning. If you disagree with that, well, we've got a whole thermos of coffee and a couple other pots on there. Amen. So. Testify, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so I'm grateful that, you know, we are going to a place where we're not going to be strangers. Amen. And I'll say this, and I've said it before, I said it 100 times, I'm closer to people in this church building than I am my own flesh and blood because of the bond we share in Christ and because of how close we are, all right? That's how close we are, and we ought to love one another, amen? We ought to love one another. And when you think about being with family, there's some family that, you know, the only reason we get together is because we share blood. That's pretty much it. That's it. And, you know, you sit around, you try to talk with folks, and you find out folks are just way out there on some issues. And you're thinking, oh, my word. I mean, I could tell you stories, just make your blood curl. But I'm grateful for a place where I can come, where I'm closer to folks, and I have a relationship with people because of we come together around the Word of God. And I've said this before, we don't come to the church here because our friends come here. We ought to be friends with the people with whom we go to church, but we don't come just because they're friends. We don't come to church because, you know, we all do the same type of work and we want to be with our own people. Well, that's what, you know, I'm going to, forgive me for saying a dirty word, that's what labor unions are for. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me. Okay. Now, but having said that, why are we here? We are here because there is a bond that is given to each one of us because of what Christ has done in our lives. And though your testimony may be different, your salvation testimony, if you're saved, number one, you got one. You got one. Number two, that's what brings us together. Okay? That's what brings us together. And we've got to learn that what unites us is outside of us. But the one who is on the out, what's outside of us, if you will, as far as the gospel, you know, nothing that we do about ourselves or anything like that. But listen to me. He's inside of us, causing us to love one another. Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's tough, I know. Say, how can you love so-and-so? Well, look how God loves us. I can see how God could love some people. But when I look in the mirror, and I'll be honest, I look at other people and think, ain't no love right there. How could God love that person? Because I certainly don't care much for them. Yeah, man. That's right. That's right. Aren't you glad that God does not have the same standard of love that you and I have? We've got to learn His standard. Watch me. And adjust to His standard. He doesn't adjust our standard. I know that's hard for some people to feel and understand, but when Jesus is your homeboy in the sky and God's the man upstairs and, yo, we got this thing figured out, yo, you don't, this Jesus you're talking about, listen, you have no idea who He is. Amen. Amen. I just thought I'd share that with you. That's not in my notes. Don't have anything to do necessarily with what I'm going to talk about today, but I want to just, you know, share that with you out of my heart. So, all right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to do a little bit of preaching, a little bit of study today. And as you're there, we're going to read the first couple of verses. Please keep your Bible open because we're going to be referring back to some of these verses as we look here. Again, we're not going to study the whole chapter. This is not an exposition of the chapter. It's just looking at some highlights of the chapter that I want to look at. And I point a couple of things out to you that I think will be a help to us as we study. Now look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Okay? "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of the tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Lord, I pray you take what's been read this morning. I pray that you would just sanctify these moments of time, the next 20, 30 minutes, Lord, as we just look at your word. I pray that you would help us. And Father, I pray that your word would be planted in our hearts, that we could learn of you, and that, Lord, as we're gathered today, the songs we've heard have focused our minds on you, our experience, and you'll take that that same mindset. Help us today to focus on your will and your word. And Lord, help us as a church to grow. God, we need to grow. I know not every message is a flying away message. We're all not going to swing from the chandeliers every service. Some things, Lord, we've got to get down, study, and look at and grow. And I pray that you'd help us in these days to grow and be glorified, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, as I was praying, I was thinking to myself, you know, there are times when we do a lot of growing, but there are times when things seemed a little slow. I remember, you'll forgive me for using a very spiritual illustration here. Well, that's not really a spiritual one. I remember Brother Stan Blue said, I used to use spiritual illustrations. Then I found out most Baptists couldn't understand them. So I started to use carnal illustrations. So I'm going to use a carnal illustration this morning. I remember watching an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. And somebody had taken, I think had brought somebody to see Jed there in Beverly Hills. And somebody had said, Jed, tip the man. Give him a tip. And everybody walked inside, and here's what Jed said. He said, don't plant your corn in January. That's a pretty good tip. Now, it wasn't the kind of tip that the people talked about or that the fellow probably would want, but that always stuck with me as a little kid, probably 10, 11, 12 years old, watching that. I remembered that you don't plant your corn in January. And then I realized, you know what? We never have planted our corn in January. It's always warm weather. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. You know, there are times that it's conducive to plant, but there are other times when the ground kind of lies dormant like it is right now, and we're not going to see the ground for quite a while. This may be one of those times where we're going to try to sow a little seed, but not so much that. Maybe if we can just simply water and let that seed sit and soak up a little bit of water, that when the time comes, the Lord will cause that to grow. And I know the Lord can cause things to grow. You know, we're to be instant, in season, out of season. You know, preachers are. There's no doubt in my mind that he can cause seed to grow any time of the season that he wants to. But having said that, here's what we're looking at today. I want to go ahead and give you my title now, and that way you'll have it. And you're going to think, you're not going to get to that. Well, I'm going to get to it. I almost hate to give you my title right now, but I'm going to give it to you now. You ready? Okay. You are needed. That's the title. Yes, I'm talking about somebody. Yes, Brother Nelson, I'm talking about you. You're needed. All right. I know I can shoot at Brother Nelson. He doesn't care. All right. And we pick at each other. But honestly, you're needed. You're needed. Here's a lot of what I see. I say a lot. I've seen it in the past. I've sat down. I've sat in the study. I've sat at the table. I've sat, you know, not just here at the church, but in other places. Places across the country, I guess, where I've been, just the few places I've been. I make it sound like I'm an international evangelist, and I'm not. Just a handful of camp meetings and meetings that we're able to go to. I talk with folks. And here's one of the things that I hear. It's like, you know, I have all these problems, all these issues, and I'm not so much needed in the church because I have nothing to offer. Nobody listens to me. And there's some of that I understand, because when you're in a position where it's not like you are, quote, in leadership, There's only seems like there's so much you can do that's limited. But at the same time, we can roll around and bemoan ourselves in that, but never rise above that to do something. If we focus, and you know, I remember one time seeing a little cartoon, and it had two fellas. One was walking like this, and he was looking at all the dirt and all the trash. And the other guy was looking like this, and he was seeing the grandeur of the stars and the sun and the moon and all the rest of it. And I'm thinking to myself, I know which one of those two fellas I usually am. And it's not the guy looking up. I'm usually looking down. You know, somebody's like, are you a pessimist? No, the glass isn't, you know, half empty. There is no glass. Sometimes that can be my attitude. But here's the thing we've got to do. If you are a child of God, you need to realize, number one, God makes no mistakes. Amen. I told a group of young folks about a year ago, preaching in another church when we were out of town, I said, God don't make no junk. Right. I had some boys sitting up here, and I said, boys, repeat after me, God don't make no junk. And they repeated it to me. And the reason I was saying that is because I wanted them to realize that God has a plan for people's lives. Now, I'm not Joel Osteen going to tell you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay? If you are saved on your way to heaven, that's true. If you walk up to somebody who's a drunk, slobbering in the ground, half out laying in his own vomit, that's gross, preacher, that's reality, and you say, God loves you and have a wonderful plan for your life, it don't look to me like his plan's coming to fruition for that man. Well, he does have a plan for him. He wants him to be saved, get out of that sin, get out of that junk, move away from that, and begin to live for God. Not wallow in that sin, not dwell in that sin, but to get up from that and go on and serve God. So having said that, having made that established here, I want to talk to us this morning as a church family, because let's not so much be concerned about what we, like, I can't do anything and there's nothing for me to do. Listen, I want you to understand, you are needed. You're needed. And I'm going to talk about that here this morning. We talked last Sunday, last Lord's Day, about spiritual gifts. And we asked this question, where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? And we could spend probably spend hours and hours and hours of a session where each of us would go around and talk about how when we were in school, we were with a group of people here, this group of people, we just did not feel like we fit in. Okay? Here's the thing I want us to understand. There is a place for every child of God to fit in. Before I even get into the text, I want you to look at verse number 11. We just read that. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit. The Spirit of God's working. Watch this. Dividing to, what are the next two words? Every man. Now, I don't have to get my Greek text over here to figure out what every man means. Every man means, watch this, every man. And we're talking about people here in the church, not just the males. We're talking about everybody in the church. Everybody has a gift. Look at me. You have a gift. Say, not me. Yes, you. You have a gift. You have a gift. Now, we talked last week about three things. Where do I fit in? How do I figure out where God wants me to be? Number one, we said, let's look at our endowments. What do I mean by our endowments? Our gifts. How has God wired you and me? I hate to use, an electrical illustration, but that's just kind of how I think, even though I'm nowhere near an electrician. But I'll say this, some folks are different than other folks. In fact, we're all different from each other. Some folks are watch batteries. Some folks are AAA. Some folks are AA. Some folks are like big D batteries. Some folks are wired 110. Some folks are wired 220. Amen. There are some folks, man, they are like the substation. They have all that, they have all that energy. That's who they are. God has wired everybody differently. How has God wired you? That is something that I wanted to convey to you when I gave you, and I know not everybody got it. If you didn't get a copy of it, we can get you a copy before you leave today. But that spiritual gifts inventory, where you answer those questions and go through and see exactly where is it you might fit on that scale of the categories of gifts that God has given to the church. We looked also at our education. Some folks in here have a formal education, whether it's high school, whether it's trade school, whether it's college, whatever, an apprentice program or vocational program, whatever it may be. You have a formal education. That's not by happenstance. Okay. Some folks would go nuts sitting at a desk. Some folks would go nuts working in a factory doing the same thing every day, day in, day out. Some folks, that would just drive them nuts. Other folks, that's right up their alley. Some folks have to be creative and do something different every day. Some folks have to figure out a problem every day. Some folks would be like, you figure out the problem, just tell me how to do it and I'll fix it. Everybody's different. But also our experience. You and I have life experience based on where we've worked, who we've gone to school with, the neighbors we have, the church we go to, every bit of that. We all have experiences that God uses to mold and to shape us. When I was in school, just to give you a for instance, when I was in school, I took, just the regular classes like everybody else did. But when my family opened up the Smokey's Best Barbecue in 1982 in Townsend, Tennessee, I began Well, actually, I played outside the first couple of summers because my parents didn't want me in there. I was in the way. But probably say from 84, 85 on, there were times when I would go in there and I would work because I was afraid not to work because my dad carried, you know, a 40-inch reason for me to work. Amen? And he'd double it up and he could swing it, and it really was an attitude adjustment. Amen. Just to let y'all know. But I learned something there that I never learned in school, and that was true people skills. When you learn to deal with complete and total strangers, there is a relationship you have to learn there. I learned that. Now, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's in retail, whether it's in construction, you're going to have to learn to get along with other people. I learned not only people skills, I learned other cultures. We had people come from all over the world to visit the Smoky Mountains in the fall. We had people who would write us notes from Finland and from the Isle of Jersey there off the coast of Great Britain and send us stamps and postcards and all of that. Met people from France. I remember, you know, the language barrier being so bad. One guy, my dad said, "Do you want it hot?" And the man said, "Yes, I want it hot." Well, come to find out, he was not interested in hot sauce. He wanted just like warm food warmed up. Dad felt so bad, he took his plate away, brought him a brand new plate out and said, "Here, just take that." And you know, and we made friends that way. The poor guy was just dropping sweat. You know, I guess people from Norway and Finland don't eat hot sauce. You know, that type thing. I mean, they're all blonde hair, blue eyes, light skin, and that boy had just sweat beating up. But I learned people skills. I learned how to interact with people. I saw how my dad did interacting with people, and I saw that he was bending over backwards to be nice to somebody, whereas he could have been a jerk and said, "You ordered it, that's what you wanted, take it and run with it." But I learned people skills. I learned respect for other people. I learned respect for different people of different backgrounds. And so all that experience with my gifts and education has made me who I am today. But that's just one story among many, because I could look at each individual. Now, granted, David and Ashley's experience is limited. It's nothing like, you know, Kurt and Becky's or Kevin and Sharon's or Brother Artie and Miss Lily's. But at the same time, everybody's got some experience, and you can learn from that experience. So here's one thing I want us to look at. God gives to every man a gift, and he does that based on those things we've already talked about. Now, he's discussing the gifts, Paul is discussing these gifts in regard to how they're used in the church. So I want to look, first of all, here, there are diversities of gifts. If you look at chapter 12 and verse number 1, let me just go ahead and mention this just in the context so you'll understand. There is a reference in verse number 10 about some people who have, you know, kinds of tongues and things like that. But I want to address that just briefly as we look here, and then we're going to look at this text. Because in verse number 2, he said, in verse 1, he said, "I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning those spiritual gifts." He says, "You know, you were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols even as you were led. No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. No man can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost." Now, in the context, what's going on here? Remember in Corinth that the way that their God's prophets, the pagan gods, would speak is they would have what we would call ecstatic utterances. They would be under the influence of something, and a demon would make them speak in an unknown language, a gibberish type language, and then somebody would have to tell everybody what that meant. And notice he said they were dumb idols. Now that's using dumb in the way we're told not to use it today, meaning they can't speak. Idols can't speak, so the people have to speak for the idols. And in doing that, they would give prophetic messages. And here's what Paul said. If someone says they're speaking by the Spirit of God, they're not going to utter some type of utterance and call Jesus accursed. And they're not going to bow to Jesus, say that Jesus truly is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So the modern tongues movement is simply a piggyback off of the old pagan way of doing things. You've all heard the stories of people getting up speaking in tongues, and a missionary standing up and saying, "This person just spoke in such and such language from such and such tribe in Africa or tribe over in India," and they actually cursed Jesus in that language. We've all heard those stories. So here's the thing I want to see that. Number one, it is the Spirit of God who uses these gifts and who works in our midst. I want to point your attention, verse 4, 5, and 6, if you will. Look with me. First of all, there are diversities of gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But notice what he says here. Diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So if you look there, you have diversities of gifts. You have diversities of administrations. And then you have diversities of operation. Now, why in the world is that important? Well, the word gift there is pretty much what we've already been talking about. Those abilities that God gives to somebody to do a work, supernatural, if you will, to accomplish that work where it's pleasing to Him. And so with that, now when I say supernatural, I'm not talking about healing somebody or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about here. Not what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is that God takes the ability and endows that to somebody, typically because He's already wired them to do it. Now, sometimes He doesn't always do it that way. He calls Peter and James and John, they're fishermen. They may not have been highly educated like other folks, but God gives them the ability to go out and to preach. We have the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We have Revelation written by John. We got 1st and 2nd Peter. But God, here's what He did when He called Paul. He called somebody who had a great education. Someone who had the equivalent of a doctor's degree in the Old Testament. Someone who could speak several different languages. Someone who knew what it was like to go from place to place and could fit in. Not so much to try to fit in there and look, you know, be a jellyfish Christian and just kind of fit in anywhere. But somebody who could go into that society, because Paul says, I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. The whole purpose of Paul's ministry was to get folks under the sound of the gospel to get them saved. And so with that, what Paul could do is he could take that education and use that to spread the gospel. So if you look here, we have different gifts, those different abilities. Now we have also differences of administration. That word administration means ministry. It's the same word that's translated as deacon to some degree. It's the same root word where our word deacon comes from. What is a deacon? It's someone who accomplishes a ministry. It's a servant. So there are differences of those ministries that God has given. God's given gifts, but there's different ministries of those gifts. Some folks may have a gift of helps. We'll talk about that probably because that's one that most everybody could fall under to some degree or other. Some folks are very mechanically inclined. There are some folks who can you know, weld a missionary's trailer. Some folks who can fix a missionary's car. Some folks can help out with a transmission on a missionary's van. But there are other folks who take that same mechanical gift. They go overseas and they dig wells. They fix and fly airplanes. They are boat mechanics. And the only place that you can get in, the only way you can get from place to place in Greenland is by boat. And so unless you know how to fix an Evinrude or a Johnson, you're pretty well stuck. So some folks have to have an ability to be able to get out. So while you may have a similar gift, there's a different ministry, a different administration by which that gift can be used. And of course, that comes down here with there are diversities of operations. That means activities or deeds, the things that we do. So here's the thing I want us to see. Every one of us has a different gift, and the different gift that we have is different in the way that we use it and the place that we use it and the activities that we use it than other people. So with that, there are diversities of gifts. And when someone says, well, I just don't know. I wish I could do such and such. You hear me all the time. It's like we had Brother Wood here a couple of weeks ago. It's like, you know, you can preach. You can play any instrument. You can sing. I hate you. I hate you with a passion. That's not right, preacher. Pray for me. Just pray for me. I'm jealous because those folks can do things I can't do. But here's the thing. God did not wire me with that ability to be able to play 4711 different instruments, to be able to sing, and to be able to be able to do all that. God didn't wire me that way. That's where I've got to step back and say, well, Lord, You're in charge and I'm not. Because the Bible tells us, and we've already read in these verses, in verse 4, it's the same Spirit. Verse 5, it's the same Lord. Verse 6, it's the same God. Verse 7, it's the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse number 11, it's the selfsame Spirit, but the Spirit of God gives, verse 7, to every man. Verse number 11, to every man. God gives to every man, to every person, exactly what He wants them to have. So I want us to understand it from that perspective. We ought not to be jealous. And I'm gonna hit on that here in a little bit, but there ought not to be any jealousy in regard to how people serve, who people serve, and where they serve. Look, I do not want to look, I took accounting as a sophomore in high school. And it was a great class. We used no calculators. Everything was pen, pencil, and paper. I mean, we had the little kits where you were given receipts from other like a business in the little kits that we had. And you had to do the debits and credits, the balances, the checks, and all the rest of it. And I thought to myself, I do not want to be an accountant. I don't want to be an accountant. Now, y'all forgive me. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I open up my bank app. I open it up, and I look at it. And if it's a number that is above zero, I don't care how I got that number. People say, do you balance your checkbook? If I can sit it on my hand, then it'll do that. Yeah, I'll balance it there. Now, some of y'all, that would drive you insane. You've got to know down to the penny exactly what you have. God bless you. I ain't wired that way. That's why I'm not in the back doing the books, because I'm fine being in the black. I don't have to have. Now, if I know something's been taken out, I can track it down. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just not wired with that type of specificity and accuracy when it comes to those type numbers. Okay? I mean, if you were to see when I did my shower and redid the trim in my shower, you can tell I don't have to have square corners. I'm into functionality. I'm telling you, I'm into functionality. Thank God for folks, you know, Brother Michael coming by and helping, Brother Jonathan Hall, whenever he was up, coming by. I say thank God for that. Brother, when I put that trim in there, you know what? It covers up the holes. We caulked it up. It looks, I don't care how it looks. I can take a shower and it looks great. That's why God has wired certain people with certain gifts. Now, I want us to look here at verse number 18. Actually, let's start at verse number 14. I want you to look at verse number 14 here. For the body is not one member, but many. All right, now in this context here, we're going to talk about just a local assembly here. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set members, the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Now that word set in verse number 18, God set. That word set means to lay, to place or to put, to appoint. So God has appointed or put people in the body, not me, but God's put people in the body, watch this, as it hath pleased Him. God has put you in this body as it has pleased Him. And I'm not being ugly, I'm not being mean, but when folks leave a church because they don't like the way things are going, they don't want to hold the church back, which really means they don't want to submit to what the church wants to do. Whenever they do that, here's what they do. They rob the church of the gift that God has blessed them with. Okay? They rob the church of that. And they also not only rob the church, they also rob themselves of the benefit that the church can give to them. Everybody remembers John F. Kennedy's famous statement. As soon as I said it, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And we ought not to ask what a church can do for us, but what we can do for the church. But there is a sense in which we ought to be able to ask, what can the church do for me? Because listen, I'll get to that in a minute. That's part of the ministry of the rest of the body. All right? So, the first thing I want to see is the body is made up of a number of parts. There are different members that have a different function. Okay? There's a number of parts. So watch this. I don't have one here. I wish I'd have brought one. I forgot all about it. I'm not going to take a flower and hold it up to my ear to see how it smells. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. And if you start talking to me and I can't hear you, I'm not going to do this right here to cup the sound to get it into my nose, because the nose doesn't help me to hear. Now, I know that's a silly illustration, but it proves the point. We have different parts of our body that have a particular function. I'm not going to smell with the ear. I'm not going to hear with my nose. I'm not going to taste, watch this, with my elbow. I'm not going to do that. But there are a different number of parts. But with the number of parts, here's where I want to get to this morning. Spend a little time here and then we'll be finished. Not only are there a number of parts, but there is a necessity for each part. There's a number of parts, but each part is necessity. Here's the thing. Everything I'm going to say here, we already know. This is intuitive. You can look and see it. You can look in the mirror and see it. I mean, you can look across the room and see it. You can be in a room at the store and see it. Number one, every part, there is a different design. There's a different design. It's interesting. Why is it that feet are for the most part flat, but the ears are cupped? Why is that? It's interesting. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about it? That's amazing. Now, I know your feet are supposed to have an arch in them, all right. But for the most part, they cover a certain amount of surface area because they've got to help that body to balance. And so we need to have a good base, a good platform to stand the body on. They're not cupped like the ear. Why are your ears cupped? It's to catch the sound, to bring it into your ear. God designed it that way. Have you ever seen the jackrabbits out in the desert and then compared those with the hares that live in colder climates? The hares on the ears on the jackrabbit are huge, but the hares are much shorter. Why is that? Why is that? The ears on the jackrabbit help it to dissipate heat so it doesn't get too hot. But the hares have just enough ear real estate to hear things, but they're not so big that they lose heat and cause the animal to have to get more and more food to survive, otherwise it'd freeze to death. See, God has wired creation that way, but God has wired you and me in much the same way because there are different designs. And because of that, there's a different function. There's a different function. So what one part's designed to do, nothing else could do as well. Now, I know that there are situations. I remember when I was a kid, I saw a person who had lost their arms. I don't remember if it was to a birth defect or to some type of surgery, but this one person was painting and driving with their feet. Okay? I've seen that before. Yeah, amen. I've seen that before. Brother Artie, how would you like to try to chord your guitar with a G with your toes? God bless your heart. You just destroyed my illustration. You just destroyed it. All right, folks, we're done. Let's bow our heads and pray. All right. Yeah. Amen. Uh-huh. Well, that would be something, brother. I'd pay to see that. I would pay to see that. Now, most of us don't have the dexterity to be able to take our foot, wrap it around, and chord the key of G. Yeah. Most of us probably wouldn't be able to do that. Amen. To be able to play a fiddle, violin, it usually requires, both sets of hands. Now, I'm sure there are some people who could, use the bow with their toes and do it. Maybe they can. I don't know. But here's the thing. Even though those people have the ability to do that, they will never be Chet Atkins. Okay, just never will be. They will never be Artie Rhodes. All right, they don't have the ability to do that. They'll never be that good because it's not designed to do that. God has designed certain people for certain things. I want us to stop a minute, and I want you to think back. I'm coming back to this in a minute, but go back to your endowments, to your gifts. How has God wired you? What gifts has He wired you with? It's not God's will for me to sing bass in a quartet, nor to be a center on a professional basketball team. I mean, I'm not 6'9 like Larry Bird, all right? Who, by the way, is the greatest pro to ever have walked on a court? I just thought I'd throw that out. Amen. And not because I'm in Indiana, just because he's always my favorite. How has God always, how has God done that? But watch this. Not only has God given us the parts that are necessary, they're designed differently, they function differently, but watch this. Even the abilities are different. They have differing abilities. Most folks are either right or left-handed. Now, a handful of folks are ambidextrous. They can use both of them at the same time. They can play ball and do that. If I were to do the fingerings on my fiddle with my left hand, that comes natural like nobody's business. If I were to go back and have to do it the other way, that would be tough. If I had to write my hand with my left hand, that would be tough. If I had to write my name with my right hand, yeah, I could do it blindfolded in my sleep. Not a problem. We have differing abilities even as part of that function. So, when you shoot, which eye do you close? If you close an eye. You close your non-dominant eye so your dominant eye can look down and see. So all you got to do is hold your finger out, close the one eye, and whenever you find your finger doesn't move, that's your dominant eye, so my right eye is dominant. Well, that means my right eye has an ability that my left eye doesn't. Now, what does all that mean? Let's look here just for a minute. What that means is this. You may be an eye in the body. You may be the other eye in the body. Body's got two eyes. But one person may have a different ability as the eye as somebody else. Does that make sense? You may be the right hand, whereas somebody's the left hand. You may have a different ability whatsoever. So there are different designs, different functions, and different abilities, different ways that those function, and the effectiveness of that function is going to depend on how that particular part of the body is designed and used. And that's all, look, that's outside of us. There probably were some of you in here, you started out left-handed, but they made you go right-handed in school. Some of you, that probably happened to you. But for most people, a lot of folks, nowadays, they just let you decide whichever hand you want to be. Amen. And it's different when you box a southpaw than you box somebody else who's right-handed. Amen. That's exactly right. So understand that you and I have different designs, different functions, different abilities, just like this body. But here's the thing. You may be a right hand and feel like you are very much can accomplish what somebody else can accomplish. Or maybe you're the left hand and say, man, I can do this, this, and this, but I can't do a whole lot. I wish I could do more, but I feel like my service is that I'm giving God is exactly what He wants me to do. Then that's fine. Don't worry about it. I told you all the other day, I went out and changed the light on my van, and I told Audrey, said, I did something wrong. It works. Because normally when I fix stuff like that, it doesn't work. It's like I always do something wrong. And so I was, wow, I can't believe I fixed it. You know? But here's the thing I want us to see. As we look here in, let's look in verse number 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I never knew, and of course I guess intuitively you think about it, but I never knew it until my mom, when she had one of her legs taken off in 2004, she was in the recovery, they let gangrene get into the big toe on her right foot, and they had to take her right toe off. That big toe is the main controller of your balance. So, well, I can get along with that, it's just a big toe. That big toe does much more than we ever really stop and think about what it does. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, more beauty, more benefit. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, verse 24, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. In other words, God takes the parts that don't shine and adorns them with a necessity of function that even though the face may be beautiful, the complexion may be just right, the cheekbones may be set just right, without the feet to carry that body somewhere, without the hands to be able to work to provide for the needs of that body and the bodies of other folks around, what good is it to have, you know, all these good looks? I'm just kidding about this. What good is it? Here's the thing. The nose enjoys the aroma of fresh baked bread. I love to come into the house and Hannah has cooked a loaf of bread. Praise the Lord for it. I love homemade bread. Man, I'm smelling it right now. My nose enjoys that. But here's the thing. My little toe on my left foot is nourished by the nutrition that was taken in by the aroma of the bread, or the bread rather, which gave the aroma that my nose enjoyed. My little toe may not have been able to have enjoyed the aroma, but the little toe benefited because my nose said, hey, they is good food in here, and I want the heel piece. I want it hot, and I want it dabbed. I want it soaked in butter. Amen. I want it soaked in butter. That's right. But here's the thing. The toe cannot get the nutrition from the bread until it's brought to the mouth by the hand. It's tasted by the mouth. It's appreciated by the mouth. And by the way, taste is such a gift of God. It's a gift of God. You and I don't have to taste food and enjoy it. Amen. Amen. I mean, why would you let all the juice out of your steak by cooking it all the way dry? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. It comes with sauce on the inside, praise God. That's exactly right. You don't need no A1 or Heinz 57 when you do it right. No, I mean, God equipped it with its own on the inside. I'm feeling some things. I'm telling you. But, you know, really, we don't have to taste anything. We can taste salt. We can taste sugar. We can taste sweet. We can taste sour. God doesn't have to give that to us. But God gives that just as a gift to show us how much He loves us. He wants us to enjoy the creation. But that bread is brought to the mouth by the hand, typically, tasted by the mouth, chewed by the teeth, digested by the stomach. Once it gets to the bloodstream, then the nutrition reaches that little toe. Every bit of that was necessary for that little toe to get nutrition. And if that little toe gets hacked off, the entire body feels it. The entire body feels it. So here's the thing I want to see. You may see, I'm just a little toe. Well, if you're just a little toe, let me say this, you are necessary. You're necessary. Regardless of the size, the role you play, God has given you a gift. And we've already seen this. We've already seen it. Verse 7, the Spirit gives to every man to profit withal. Verse number 11, the Spirit divides. And when we say divide, it means He distributes to every man, if you will, there. And God sets the members in the body, verse 18, as he sees them. So in verse number 28, the Bible says this, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Now here's the thing. We talk to some of our brethren, you know, the body of Christ is the local church. It's the one body. The bride of Christ is the local church. There's nothing outside of that. Here are several issues with that. I understand the context here, but if you look in verse number 28, not every church has apostles. Now you can argue and say, well, the apostle, I'm reading him. Well, that's true, I am reading him. But if he's talking about a local assembly here, we got problems. Secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. But here's the question, verse 29, are all apostles? Here are the questions we need to ask. Is everybody an apostle? No. Is everybody a prophet? No. Everybody a teacher? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Here's the thing. The gifts that were in use at this time, we know that the gifts of healing are gone, the gifts of tongues are gone, all those things are gone. They're no longer in operation today. The thing that I want us to understand is this. Paul is conveying that not everybody does every single job. Apparently the apostles weren't the only ones who interpreted, because other people interpreted at the time. The answer to those questions is no. Not every one person does every job. God has made it to where the church does not sit on one person. Listen to me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it unapologetically. The church does not sit on the pastor. And if you think that the church rises and falls with the pastor, you need to stop and think to yourself, the church is bigger than one man. You go look at Philippians chapter number 1. He wrote to the church at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. But he wrote to one church. Explain that one to me. Oh, I can explain it, but it goes against our independent Baptist way of doing things. I can definitely explain it. God never chose for one man to rule the world. God never chose for one man to take over and do things in the church. I understand that there's one person who's in the lead. You can see it in the book of the Revelation, under the angel of the church at, Ephesus, Smyrna, etc., right? So there's one leader in the church. I get that. But everything does not rise and fall on the pastor as far as like him being the head of the church, because Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. Everybody is wired for an ability. So here's the thing I want to see, and I'm finishing up here. Number one, I want you to remember the gifts you've been given. We talked about our endowments, our gifts. Number two, we've talked about our education. Number three, we've talked about our experience. Everybody's is different. No two people's is exactly alike. Once you've looked at that and you've discerned, you've looked at that little gifts thing, the thing that we handed out here the other day. If you don't have it, I hope that you've looked at it. How many folks have had a chance to do it? How many folks had a chance to do it? Several of you have. Okay, that's wonderful. If you didn't get a chance to do it, please do that. Because here's the thing. Once you've determined your endowment, you've looked at your education, your experience, you figured out what your gift is, you've taken that little thing, you've looked at it, you've prayed over it. Is this right? Now you need to exercise it. Exercise the gift. You are to take your gift and use it to edify others. All these are E's. Once you figure out your gift, you exercise it and thereby edify people with it. Edify just means to build up. But, man, I've preached even longer than I wanted to. I need to stop because I thought I was finishing up. Too many illustrations. But here's something I want to leave you with. You exercise your gift. You do that. And maybe I need to preach an entire message on this. But you need to sit back at times or while you are working and be blessed by the gift of somebody else. You need to allow yourself to be ministered to. Amen. We got some missionaries who've been staying here. I talked to them. They were here all this week. They're going to their Brother Red's this morning. And looking at the schedule and all, we weren't able to have him in or anything. And, of course, we didn't have church, Wednesday night because of the weather. So I was able to get on the cameras and find out that there were some other folks who were here doing some work. Well, here's the nice thing. I don't have to come out. The missionaries shovel the sidewalks, and usually we got some folks who take care of that on Sunday morning once the lot's been scraped and all. Some folks come out here, they'll shovel the sidewalks, throw salt down, all those type things. See, I don't have to do everything. But you and I benefit because somebody's plowed the lot, somebody shoveled the sidewalks, somebody salted the sidewalks. It's just like a pitch in. We're going to go in here in a few minutes and we're going to eat. When we dismiss, we're just going to go around. We can fellowship in yonder, okay? The coffee pot's in there. Food's in there. All right? But we're going to benefit because other people have prepared food that they can prepare to bless other people. So I'm going to be blessed by somebody else. And I'm trying to do my best to hopefully bless somebody about what little bit that I was able to bring. But every one of us is going to benefit. It's hard to be ministered to sometimes. But if we don't allow people to minister to us, we cheat them out of the gift God has given them. And we really say, in effect, God, you made a mistake by giving them that gift because we don't want to partake of that gift or be recipients of the grace that you've given to them to work that gift out. That cheats those people out of a blessing. It cheats the glory of God. That's something to chew on. That's something to chew on. Amen. Say, well, I didn't bring any food today. Well, stay anyway and be blessed because we know you can cook. Amen. Everybody in here can cook. I mean, hamburger helper ain't that hard, man. I mean, I can do it. Try it. But let's be blessed by the gifts because here's the thing. You and I bless others with our gift. We have others bless us with their gift. You know what we all do? We live in unity and harmony, and we go forward for the glory of God. All right. We'll stop right there. Amen. And we can meditate on what's been said, fellowship around the table. All right.